You couldn't ask for a better time to listen to a sports podcast. We got the Final Four coming up. Opening day for the baseball season. NBA playoff race is heating up. Ah, the joy of sports. What's up, everybody? I'm Tyler Smith, and you're listening to TY's 20 on WordPress Radio. Here's the deal for today's show. We've been doing all the baseball divisional previews on the show, and our last division is the American League West. But instead of doing extensive analysis on that division, we're just going to give our predictions in that division when Seth joins us. And then Seth and I are going to give our baseball previews for the entire year in Major League Baseball. Our playoff picks, Cy Young picks, MVP picks, and all that good stuff. That's coming up in a few minutes. But first, a couple notes in the world of basketball. The Final Four is set, and I absolutely love the Final Four this year. You have two teams, VCU and Butler, who are the gutsy small schools that very few, if any, pick to make it this far. They're playing each other. Then on the other side, you have two storied college basketball programs, Kentucky and Connecticut, which, of course, guarantees that the championship game will be between one of the storied powerhouse schools and a gutsy small school. Overall, it's been a great tournament to watch. To me, it's a bit of a blessing and a curse seeing a team like VCU go so far, and I'll tell you why. It's great to watch, but now I feel like the NCAA will probably use this as an excuse to expand the pool even more. And as I've said before, I'm completely against having a 94 or however many team tournament that they've wanted. I love it the way it is now. VCU earned their way into this tournament. It doesn't mean that more teams should get in. As for Butler, truly remarkable. First Indiana team to ever make back-to-back Final Fours, which is crazy in itself. I'm really pulling for them to win the whole thing this time around. They're showing exactly what Indiana basketball should be about. Guys working hard, playing together, doing the little things, doing whatever it takes to win. That exemplifies Indiana basketball. And we Indianans are very proud of the Bulldogs. Should be a very exciting Final Four. I'll definitely be rooting for whoever wins the Butler VCU game to win it all next Monday night. Switching real quickly here to the NBA, the Pacers currently have a slim one-game lead over the Bobcats for the eighth seed and a two-game lead over the Bucks. Now, they do own the tiebreaker over the Bobcats and currently do not own the tiebreaker over the Bucks. That could change, however. Whenever they look good, expect a slump. Whenever you think they're done, expect a few wins. That's what I've come to believe with this year's team. Now, the Pacers play the Bucks on Friday night. Huge game there. Danny Granger said it himself this week when he said, "We just don't know how to win." Not a good sign when your franchise player is saying that, yet this is a team who has beaten the Bulls, the Lakers, and the Heat all this year. They can still surprise some people if they get into the playoffs and are on one of their hot streaks at that time, but simply getting into the playoffs is going to be one heck of a roller coaster here in the final 3 weeks of the season. All right, enough about basketball. It's time to talk some baseball. Opening day is this week. This is the final podcast before our national pastime returns. What a great feeling opening day truly is. Seth Lawrence joins us once again, and we're going to get right into this here. The American League West, we're going to just talk about our predictions. So here we go, Seth. Starting in fourth place, I've got the Seattle Mariners. I don't think they added enough in the offseason to be contenders. They still have Ichiro. They still have last year's Cy Young winner. But not enough for me to compete this year. Who do you have in fourth?
I think it's a toss-up between the Mariners and the A's. I'll give it to the Mariners because they're terrible. And they didn't do anything to get better, so.
All right, third place, I have Oakland, the Athletics, of course. Now, a lot of people are picking them as a sleeper team this year. In a division of only four teams, it's not that hard to contend. I think they could possibly contend if a lot of things go their way. But I just can't see myself putting them past a Mike Socia club or the defending American League champion. So I'm going with Oakland in third.
Yeah, I don't think they can really do much. I mean, they've got young pitchers. They've got some solid talent. But I just don't think it's, like you said, that those two factors are pretty hard to overcome in that division. And I just don't see it for them. I think they're on their way to becoming contenders again, but not this year.
Second place, I have the Angels. To me, they really did not have a good offseason. They lost out on all the big free agents that they wanted. At the same time, this is a Mike Socha ball club, and that dude can manage. The Angels always seem to be there in contention, but I'm picking them second. I've got the Rangers in first. Though they lost Cliff Lee, which is a big blow, they did add Adrian Beltre. Their lineup is amazing if they can stay healthy. Hopefully they'll get the Michael Young situation figured out. They got a nasty bullpen. They're going to need C.J. Wilson and Colby Lewis to have good years once again in the rotation to win the division, but that's how I see things shaking out in the AL West.
Yeah, I mean, I have it the opposite way. I have the Rangers in second. But to me, their starting pitching still needs to be better, especially without Cliff Lee. And I think that the Angels missed a lot. Kendry Morales last year, that was the guy who went down, I'd say, a little bit before midseason, and they missed that in the middle of their lineup, and that was huge. I like Dan Herron coming over in the midseason trade for Joe Saunders. I think he's going to have a good year. To me, Scott Kazmir for this team needs to do something. He's been terrible with the Rays and now the Angels, and to me, if there's a year for that guy to do something, this one, he's going to be a 4-5 starter in this rotation, and he's got to have a big year. But I see the Angels putting together a good year and back atop the AL West.
All right, now Seth and I are going to have some fun with baseball coming this week. We're going to make some predictions about how the season's going to shake out, and we're going to start with our picks for the Cy Young in each league. Now, this award is a little different than MVP because typically the best pitcher for the season wins this award, as we saw with King Felix last year. He won the Cy Young despite being on a terrible team. However, with that in mind, I'm still going to pick Roy Halladay in the National League. I think he's got one or two more of these in him. Despite the Utley injury, despite Worth leaving town, I still think the Phillies are going to win lots of games. Sometimes guys are hurt in the Cy Young voting if they have a good staff around them, also pitching well like Halladay has. But at this point, I just can't seem to give this award to anybody else. I just think he's the best in the game. Tim Lincecum and Clayton Kershaw are my honorable mentions for this year in the National League. Going over to the American League, I'm taking David Price. Now, his lineup is weaker, so the win total may not reach 19 like it did last year, and he may get some tough luck losses, but I also think not many people expect the Rays to contend. I think they will at least be in the conversation, and Price is going to have another monster year. I give him a slight edge. I could see CC Sabathia with a great shot, and also kind of a dark horse, Clay Buchholz may have a chance of winning the award this year. So those are my picks for Cy Young. How about you, Seth? What do you think?
I've got Halladay out of the National League. He's the best pitcher in baseball, and pitching in one of the weaker divisions, I think he could do some more damage, probably have another 20-win season over there, and he plays, you know, despite playing in a closet of a ballpark, he still manages to get the job done. He's about every night he's out there, so I give him the edge. I also like Kershaw from the Dodgers. In the American League, I'm actually going to take kind of maybe a surprise. Ricky Romero from the Blue Jays, the left-hander, he's going to take over the ace of the staff of the Blue Jays. He's a lefty. He's got a nice fastball, great changeup, a great slider, and he pitched well in his short major league time. And I think he's going to have a huge year. I think even though the Jays may not win the division or even make the playoffs, I think Romero is going to be the Cy Young. I think he's going to rack up some wins with this offense. And like you said, I've got Sabathia in the conversation as well. Felix obviously will be there. I'm going to take Ricky Romero from the Jays.
Not a bad choice. We're going to swing over now and talk about the MVP of each league. And I know this is probably against the rules, but my opening statement goes like this. The National League MVP is going to be one of the Rockies. And in the American League, it's going to be one of the Red Sox. And let me explain what I think here. I think Tulowitzki or Carlos Gonzalez are going to win the National League MVP this year, mainly because I think Pujols and the Cardinals are going to finish in fourth place. So it's tough to give a guy MVP for that. Tulowitzki, if he stays healthy and plays more than the 122 games that he played last year, I think he's got a great shot. I picked the Rockies to win the NL West, mainly with these two guys in mind. I think Ryan Howard and Joey Votto, two slugging first basemen. They also have a great shot at the award this year, too, in my opinion. And in the American League, I think Boston is clearly the best team, so take your pick. Now, I would just come out and give the MVP to Adrian Gonzalez, but the only question with him is, will he produce right away coming off the surgery? If he produces by late April, early May, I say he's got a great shot at winning this award. So who do you got for MVP?
I've actually got Ryan Braun in the National League. He did not have a typical Ryan Braun year. He's got a stacked offense around him. He's gonna get some good pitches. And, with that lineup, I think he's gonna hit probably 315, 320, 30, 40 homers. He could easily rack up 100 RBIs. I like your picks in Gonzalez and Tulo. I also think Jose Reyes might make an appearance in the top five of the voting. He is looking tremendous. Everybody that you talk to over there says he is in great shape, and this is a contract year for him. But I'm going to take, Ryan Braun. I think he's poised for a bounce back here, and in that lineup, I think he's going to have big numbers. And in the American League, I'm just going to give it to Gonzalez. I mean, he's been a pitcher's park for probably the first time in his life. And, that lineup he's got around him, he's going to get pitches to hit. And I kind of think, T.Y., that you made a good point on if he can hit by late April, early May, he's got a shot. But, I mean, we've seen in the past where the voters have given a guy who's kind of surged on the scene late the MVP, as in DeGroia from the Red Sox a few years ago. Didn't really have a great season, but he hit well late. He carried that team, and they gave him the MVP. But I think if Gonzalez can be consistent, if he can play that 100 and however many games and come off that surgery hitting well, I think he's going to easily win the MVP award. I also think they have to consider Hamilton. If he can stay healthy all year and hit like he did last year, obviously he's not going to hit 350 or whatever that ridiculous number was, but he'll be in the conversation, and I think there's a number of guys in the AL that could win it, but mainly I think Gonzalez.
Good stuff, as always, Seth. Let's talk about our playoff picks. First of all, let's remind everyone who we've been picking for our divisional winners. Once again, in case you missed these podcasts, I've got the Reds, Rockies, and Phillies, and I've got the Red Sox, Rangers, and White Sox as far as the six divisional winners. I'm wondering if we should have any thoughts about possibly changing our National League East pick if Chase Elliott possibly was out for the season. I guess that's a topic for a different day. But who do you have playing in the World Series?
I've got the Red Sox, and I am going to go with the Phillies. I mean, Chase Utley is a big bat. I think, the Phillies are desperate. They fought over Luis Castillo, but I still think that offense is good enough to get through, and I think that pitching is tremendous. I just, until proven wrong, I'm going to stay with the Phillies, and, obviously the Red Sox are the team that everybody looks at in the American League. They're stacked and ready to make a postseason run, so I'm going to go with the Red Sox and Phillies.
And, Seth, that's exactly what I have, and I am definitely nervous about the Phillies' pick. I'm not convinced that Utley's going to be out the entire season. Obviously, if he needs surgery, if it comes to that here 6 or 7 months, or excuse me, weeks from now, they decide he needs surgery, that's going to put a big blow on the team, and I might want to change the pick at that point. But as of right now, I've got the Red Sox and Phillies. I'll take the Red Sox to win it all. They've got the best team on paper, but of course, this is baseball, so you never really know, and that's why we love the game. Now, what to watch for in 2011? 2010 was the year of the rookie and the year of the pitcher. What is 2011 going to be?
I think it's going to be kind of a bounce back year. I think there was some guys last year that didn't have good years. I talked about Ryan Braun. I think Roy Oswalt for the Phillies. He didn't have a good start. I think he can get off to a good start and kind of propel the Phillies to the top of the division. I think it's going to be a big offensive year, I think, minus when you play Philadelphia or you play Boston. I think it's going to be a lot of guys having big years offensively. I think we can see some big numbers from home run hitters. I think we can see a lot of high-scoring ball games. I don't think pitching is going to be as dominant this year as it has in years past.
My prediction for 2011 is this. I think we're going to see some of the closest races throughout every division in baseball that we've ever seen. To me, every division has the potential to have about three teams that have a chance of winning it. So I think the pennant races are going to be simply amazing in 2011. And that is going to do it for our baseball previews. Seth, it's been great having you on the show for these 6 weeks. I'm sure we'll talk to you again throughout the season, especially come trade deadline time. But thanks so much for joining us for these weeks.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Final thing I want to talk about in this week's podcast is the fact that I like Mike Quadi more every single day, every single time the guy talks. And I said in one of the earlier podcasts when I started this show that Mike Quadi was the right choice for the Chicago Cubs, for him to manage his club. And I do feel that Lou Piniella was a good manager, especially in his younger days, especially with more veteran clubs. But for the group of guys that we have this season, I think Mike Quadi is the right guy for the job. This past week, he named Andrew Cashner the fifth starter, which really was surprising to a lot of people. The Cubs, a lot of times, often get accused of not really looking towards the future, and this was definitely a future type of move. We got to see what Andrew Cashner has, and if you think about it, when guys first start in the starting rotation, their innings are limited. So if we were to wait till next year to put Cashner in the rotation, his innings would have been limited next year, and it could have been 2013 before we got a full season out of Cashner in the starting rotation. So Carlos Silva, don't let the door hit you with the good Lord split you. He kind of left in an unclassy way. He's getting paid a whole lot of money to be overweight and not pitch very well. So good riddance to him. And I'm just very, very excited for this baseball season. We will say at least this about the Cubs. They have a very exciting rotation. Dempster and Zambrano and Garza, Randy Wells and Andrew Cashner. Pretty solid, formidable 1-5. Hopefully the guys down in that bullpen can do a good job. And, you know, the bell's about to ring for the season to start. I've got the Cubs going 162-0 this year. Yeah. About that. Anyway, the Cubs will have a chance, and I'm so excited for baseball. I just can't stop talking about it. We thank you so much for listening to all these baseball divisional previews. Now it's time to play the games. That's all the time we have for this week's podcast. As Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. Take care and go Cubbies.